preseason podcast of the year, baby. Back at you. Today is St. Patty's Day, y'all. March 17th, 2015. Happy birthday to my niece, Nyla. Uncle Justin loves you very much. Thank you for joining us on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. I'm your host, Jay Hicks, here behind the mic again, flying solo this evening. And we're going to talk about a big day. Today is the day after. The calm. This is the eye of the storm, y'all. It's the day after in hip hop and the day before in sports. And I'm gonna. Actually, it's the day of in sports, but so I guess it's not really the perfect analogy. But it doesn't matter. It's a great day, and I'm gonna tell you why in a second. But thank you for joining us this evening. It's been a long time since we had a podcast. It's been almost 6 weeks. I apologize, y'all. I know it's a. Took a little bit, but we've had a lot of other stuff going on. Great, great stuff with the website of late, and I'm very, very happy of the progress that has been made. Very proud of what's transpired over the course of those last 6 weeks. So there's been a reason why we've had to step away momentarily on the podcast, but we do it all for the benefit of you and the site, and so we can better bring you sports and hip hop music, our take on it. It's fresh. It's different. It's knowledge and expertise in both realms. We're not faking the funk here. And so we thank you and we appreciate you for listening. And anybody else that is down with the cause and knows what we're trying to do here and what we're trying to build, thank you so much. First, I want to start off by saying I want to salute two people who have frequently contributed to the podcast, actually, that are now offering up their expertise via the pen. That is if people actually wrote stuff down anymore in 2015, which they don't. So via the keyboard, they're going to be contributing a little bit more regularly. That is Kenneth Hicks, author extraordinaire. You know him from having written previous books such as I Know This To Be True, Intercourse, The Chronicles of a Cyber Casanova, Learning the Way, the erudition of Charisse Bell, along with Jabril Turner. Kenneth Hicks, he's author of the new book, Natural Life, which is going to be hitting online stores very soon. March 31st is the date. We're going to have him on the podcast in the near future. But he, along with our longtime guest and friend, Anthony Houston, both of them have made significant contributions to the website and will continue to do so in the near future. And they have started writing some articles for the site as well. So it's not just my own opinions on there, you know, because you guys might think that I'm a moron and it's like, who wants to keep reading stuff from this guy? Well, we got some new opinions to bring to the table from Kenneth Hicks and Anthony K. Houston. So you guys check them out. Check out Kenneth Hicks on obeliskmediagroup.com. And his Twitter page, which is, I'm going to tell you in a second. What is it? It's at Author K. Hicks. At Author K. Hicks. Anthony Houston can be heard, or seen rather, on Twitter at A.K. Houston, H-U-E-S-T-O-N. Thank you, gentlemen, for helping making Hip Hop Sports Report better. Also, Hip Hop Sports Report podcast is now on Stitcher. So please check us out there. We are now available on Stitcher for your listening pleasure. So if you subscribe to Stitcher, a lot of people do. It's a pretty cool website. I just got hip to it. That's another great innovation. Thanks to Anthony. He kind of hipped us to that. And he kind of spearheaded that initiative to get us on there. So thank you for that, Anthony, once again. Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast is on Stitcher now. So go check us out there. Just do a search for us on that website or on that app. And you will be able to locate this noise you're hearing right now in your ear holes. Hip Hop Sports Report is always on Twitter at HHS Report. Facebook.com. It's facebook.com/HHS Report as well. The website again, obviously, hiphopsportsreport.com, and we're on iTunes as well, so you guys know where to find us. Now, keeping up with the housekeeping theme, just want to reference this real quick. So you guys, if you follow me on Twitter, I appreciate it, obviously, and you may have seen that there was a lot of activity from the account yesterday. And we recently, if you follow the site, wrote an article about Fabulous, the MC from Brooklyn, been in the game for almost 15 years, and I didn't feel like the guy was getting his just due. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. So I recognize that Fab has contributed to the game, and I'm a fan myself. And so I said, let me go ahead and write an article about why Fab isn't respected enough as far as one of the greats in this game because of the turns that his career has taken and the fact that he's managed to remain consistent year after year after year. And so I penned that article this past weekend, and or again keyboarded. I keyboarded that article this past weekend, and lo and behold, Loso retweeted us on Monday, yesterday. Woo! So thank you so much for that, Fab. Whoa. Thank you for that, Fab. Appreciate that, man. If you hear this, good looking. We appreciate you, obviously, here at the podcast and on hiphopsportsupport.com. So, and I got a lot of retweets. I got a lot of retweets, and I got a lot of new followers out of that and a lot of new readers. We actually set records. We shattered records for the most site visits in one day yesterday. And the projections indicate that today we're actually going to have the second highest amount of viewership on the site. For your unique site visits, if you will, in a day. So, site visit record yesterday, we tripled our old record. Today, we're going to be doing another one. I think my wife just came home, but she doesn't know that I'm doing a podcast. Hi, honey. And so, yeah, so there's that. But yeah, big day for the podcast. So, thank you to all who made that possible. Thank you for all our new Twitter followers, all our new readers, people who have never seen the site before. You guys are starting to get a feel for what it is that we do over here. And so thank you very much. We appreciate that. And again, big shout out to Fab. I think that's enough for housekeeping. I think I covered everything. If I forgot something, I'm going to go ahead and you know, I'll circle back around to it in the event that I forgot. Oh, here's something. March 9th just passed. So that's Biggie Day, right? We celebrate the life of Biggie Smalls on March 9th every year. Does the hip-hop community and culture. So thank you so much to all those who got a chance to look at the article that we actually wrote a couple of years ago. But we did like a little throwback edition to that article where we recognize Biggie Smalls as having created the first holiday in hip-hop. And so March 9th, everybody knows that date from the Cannabis record, the second round knockout record years ago. And that kind of, I think, started it. And so now here we are today. What are we, 18 years after Biggie's death, or 17? 18 years, actually, after Biggie's death. And we still recognize Big Papa as one of the all-time greats. So we're going to try to rock out to as many Biggie instrumentals this evening as we can, with one exception. We'll get to that a little bit later. So again, I think that covers everything. And so that brings us to today. And why is today significant? There's two major things that's happening in the world of hip-hop and sports today. And I think you all know what it is if you're listening to this podcast. Obviously, Kendrick Lamar's album finally dropped. I'm not sure if it dropped on accident or not, but it dropped two nights ago. So Sunday night going into Monday. I woke up Monday morning and the internet was going nuts talking about Kendrick's album had come out. I'm still not entirely sure if it dropped on purpose or not. But again, I guess my thing is like if... maybe it leaked and then the TDE, you know, Interscope people just was like, well, they just called up iTunes and was like, screw it, just posted to iTunes, click, and just hung up the phone. And then next thing you know, the real album is there for sale. The other half of me is thinking like, well, I don't know if it's that easy to get your stuff, you know, ready to be consumed by the public on iTunes with a monetary exchange involved. Like, I don't know if that happens that quickly just by like a phone call. So in the event that it doesn't, then maybe iTunes knew that this thing was coming out, and then therefore it wasn't really an accident. But I've seen reports saying that Top Dog executives have been flying off the handle on Twitter talking about somebody's gonna pay for this, like they're, you know, like they're Dr. Claw or somebody or whatever. But in any event, the album's out, and people are already starting to provide feedback on what they think of it. I'm going to touch on that right now, and then the other thing later in the show, obviously, is the NCAA tournament. Is the fake tournament begins tonight? Actually, the fake tournament is just like the fake baseball playoffs, where they have the one game playoff that really doesn't mean anything because, you know, everybody pours champagne on themselves like they made the playoffs, and then they play one game and then they're out, and then you're sitting at home. It's like you didn't make the playoffs, dog. That's not the real playoffs. You made the fake playoffs. But this is the fake NCAA tournament games are tonight and tomorrow, and then the real tournament. The real 64-team real deal Holyfield tournament begins this Thursday. I'm going to go through my bracket with y'all and let you know exactly who I think is going to take on the crown this year. But we're going to start with hip-hop. Kendrick Lamar, y'all. You may not remember this, but it's actually been two 2.5 years since Kendrick last dropped an album, and he's been a busy dude since then, so nobody's really holding that against him. But Good Kid, Mad City came out in October of 2012, y'all. The site was so young and so precious at that point. We did one of my favorite reviews on that. Tale of the Tape Reviews was on Good Kid, Mad City, and we gave it the highest rating that we've given any Tale of the Tape. It was a second round knockout, and it was that good of a CD. Or CD. How old am I? Good Lord. It was that good of an album, y'all. It was that good of a record, whatever you want to call it. It was that good of a grouping of MP3 files. How about that? And the expectations have been sky high for Kendrick ever since then, obviously. And here we are now, and he's got this album out. I think it's dope. And I'm actually going to... It's weird, man, because I'm going to burn a little bit of material probably for the Tale of the Tape review for this album, which is entitled To Pimp a Butterfly. I'm probably going to be burning a little material for that. But then again, I might not, because, you know, we like to do Tale of the Tapes several weeks down the line so that you can really let the music wash over you, because I don't see the sense in doing an album review 6 seconds after the album came out. I've seen websites that I've even frequented as a fan and consumer of hip-hop that... they do album reviews before the album drops. And it's just like, how do you have a real handle on what you're listening to, reviewing it, and then telling the public that this is whack or this is good? Like, how do you sleep at night knowing that you haven't had that music for more than 48 hours? You just listen to it. And it's just like, you have to give it time, man. Music is not, it's not a basketball game where two teams play each other. There's four quarters. In 48 minutes, it's over. You have a definitive outcome. You know who won. You know who lost. You know who played well. You know who stunk up the joint. And then you move on to the next game. It's not like that. Music is art, man. Music takes time to grow an appreciation for it and to gain new perspective on it. And if the guy can actually rap, and we know Kendrick can rap his ass off, it takes time to catch all the metaphors. It takes time to understand all the little nuances of what he's trying to do and working in the themes in which he likes to weave throughout the course of an album and the cover art and just taking all these different things into account. It can't be done overnight. Having said all that, it's too big of a story to ignore. And so I'm going to dive a little bit, maybe not as deep as I'm going to Tale of the Tape review, but a little bit into To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick Lamar. Like I said, I think it's dope, even though it's still in the early stages. What you'll notice is if you're coming to this album and you're trying to hear some stuff that you could bang in the car, some nice club anthems, like, yeah, I'm popping this Kendrick, you know what I'm saying? Ride out to the club, holler at a few chicks, you know what I'm saying? This is not that album. This ain't for you. It's not for you. So understand that going in. This is for hip-hop heads and... you know, I don't even know if this will appeal to all hip-hop heads, because Kendrick is really trying some new stuff. There was a lot of funk influence on this record. There was a lot of, a little bit of soul, but a lot of funk, a lot of just different type of sounds that we haven't heard from Kendrick Lamar. And frankly, we're not really hearing from anybody in rap right now. And I thought that was pretty refreshing, actually. Kendrick, to me, has the charisma of a rap superstar, but the spirit of a backpacker. And I think that's really cool, because you have guys like Lil Wayne who can take over the club scene, take over the charts, take over the music video countdown or whatever, like Wayne was doing in the late 2000s, you know what I mean? And then you have your Tyler Qualis, your you know, Lil Brothers, your Commons, those guys, to a lesser extent Nas, and you know, these guys are more of your traditional backpack type rappers that rap about a cause, you know, to even go back further in time, Public Enemy, those guys, Dead Prez, Mos Def, guys like that, you get the picture. Those are your traditional backpack MCs, you know what I mean? And those two audiences don't typically mesh. They don't mesh. And one usually resents the other. The party people are looking at the backpackers like, man, why don't y'all get off y'all damn high horse? You're not better than us. Y'all like to dance too. Y'all like to listen to ignorant music too when you get drunk. But stop trying to act holier than thou, all that type of stuff. And then you have, of course, the backpackers, which are really looking down on the party cats. Like, you know, all y'all do is listen to music about clothes and money and swag and all this other inconsequential BS that it's not relevant in the grand scheme. Hip hop was built to, or created, I should say, to inform the streets about what's really going on in our communities, and you guys are just desecrating that with the likes of Soulja Boy or Gucci Mane or Migos or whoever. And so there's this conflicting idea between the two at all times. Kendrick Lamar has ascended to a point in rap where what he does, regardless of what he does, he's going to have the stage. The stage is going to be his when he steps up to the mic, and he will command people to listen to what he has to say because he's that talented. What we're seeing with this album, and we saw definitely a little bit with Good Kid, Mad City, but even more so with the Pimp a Butterfly, we're seeing Kendrick really own his black power type of aura, you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what he's preaching on this album. There's a lot of criticism of the black community, still criticism of the gangbanging mentality and stuff like that. But there's one particular record that jumps out to me right away that I've been listening to a lot, and it's called, as I pull it up, because it's that fresh, I don't have everything right, you know, off the top of my head, How Much a Dollar Costs, you know what I'm saying? And that, it's not really talking about hip-hop, the people from the hip-hop culture per se necessarily, but it's just talking about people in general, and it has he tells a story where Kendrick himself is riding to the gas station, and he comes across a derelict or you know, something like that, and the guy is just destitute, and he's strung out on his luck, and he's asking for a dollar from Kendrick, and Kendrick is looking at him like, man, get out of my face, you know. And that's the kind of mentality he gave off, and the guy is just pleading with him just to get just one single dollar. You know, I'm not asking for food, I'm not asking for anything like that, I just need just a dollar, just one piece of U.S. currency, one piece of paper valued at one U.S. dollar. And Kendrick won't give it to him because Kendrick's looking at him like, man, I see hobos in the streets every day, and all you guys want to do is take this money that we give you and use it to get high, use it to get drunk, use it for something that's not productive. I'm not going to help you feed your addiction. So no, absolutely not. And then this hostility grows between the two people. And it kind of goes, there's a kind of a back and forth in the third verse, and it climaxes where the homeless person informs Kendrick, well, you don't want to give me a dollar, so be it. As it turns out, guess what, fool? I'm God. I am God. And the cost for you to get into heaven was giving me $1, and you didn't give it to me. Enjoy your decision. Peace. I'm out. And Kendrick just left like, you know, listening to it, we're all just left like, wow, you know what I'm saying? And you know, that's just one example of where Kendrick's head is at on this record. He's taking this thought process to another level. You know what I'm saying? It's not just, it goes a little bit deeper than Good Kid, Mad City, where Good Kid, Mad City was just a lot about, okay, this is the gangbanging that goes on in my community, and this is how it affects us. You know, we have murders, we have people that are dying in the streets. We need to get baptized and saved, essentially, in order to save our own lives. And that was kind of a large theme behind Good Kid, Mad City. This album is kind of taking it a step further. You know, The Black or the Berry, obviously, that was a big record that came out a little bit before the album, but that song was very powerful as well, when Kendrick basically ends the record by talking about how hypocritical we all are for being up in arms about the deaths of people like Mike Brown and Trayvon Martin, and when we're turning around and killing each other in the streets. Which is crazy, because we on this website, we actually defended Charles Barkley for saying some of the same stuff, you know, and people crushed him for that. But I don't really hear anybody outraged about what Kendrick had to say. But Kendrick is saying, look, y'all, it's all well and good if we want to protest and speak our minds about these issues with police brutality and all this stuff, or people that don't look like us that are taking our children's lives. That's all well and good, but guess what? We're doing it to ourselves every single day, and we need to stop. We have to stop. There's more to it than just pointing the finger at people who don't look like us. We need to look ourselves in the mirror and take some accountability. I thought that was really cool. In fact, on one song, the hook basically says, "Shit don't change unless you wash your ass, nigga." And that's true. You know what I'm saying? You gotta get up and wash your ass sometimes. Like, your own. You know what I'm saying? You gotta take care of your own first, and that's the only way we're gonna see change. I think this, more than any other work that we've seen from Kendrick, really was a call to action. And people toss around that phrase from time to time, but you really kind of saw what Kendrick was getting at. I mean, he's really trying to affect change for the betterment of specifically black people. And you know, the world in general. I mean, the world benefits. If black people are better off, then the world is better off. Because and America's better off. We're part of America. We're part of this planet. So absolutely, it's going to ultimately benefit the world, especially when you consider the influence that African Americans have on culture, especially in this country, but from, you know, around the world. I mean, it's profound. You see rappers that aren't even relevant today go over into Europe and do tours, and they do numbers. They do crazy numbers over there. You know, Wu-Tang Clan and all these other rappers that go overseas and do crazy numbers, because the culture is just that powerful. You don't see washed up, not to say the Wu-Tang Clan is washed up, but I mean, you don't see other, you know, older MCs I should say older performers from other countries coming to America and singing songs in German. You don't see any old German artists coming over here, or any old artists from Russia coming to America and doing tours and selling out facilities and arenas and stuff. You don't see that, but you see it with hip-hop, and you see it with black Americans, and that's powerful stuff. And so Kendrick knows the strength of his voice and what his voice can do. If you're talking about lyrics, check this out. The lyrics are still there.
I know everything. I know everything. Know myself. I know morality, spirituality, good and bad health. I know fatality might haunt you. I know everything. I know Compton. I know street shit. I know shit that's conscious. I know everything. I know lawyers, advertisement, and sponsors. I know wisdom. I know bad religion. I know good karma. I know everything. I know history. I know the universe works mentally. I know the perks of bullshit. Is it meant for me? I know everything. I know cars, clothes, hoes, and money. I know loyalty. I know respect. I know those that's unreal. I know everything. The highs, the lows, the groupies, the junkies. I know if I'm generous at heart, I don't need recognition. The way I'm rewarded, well, that's God's decision. I know you know that line's for Compton School District. Just give it to the kids, don't gossip about how it's distributed. I know how people work. I know the price of life, I'm knowing how much it's worth. I know what I know, and I know it well not to ever forget. Until I realized I didn't know shit the day I came home.
So yeah, man, if you're still looking for Kendrick Lamar to bring the A1 lyrical game, it's there. He brought it on this album too. It's a little bit different though. It's not just straight, you know, 16 hook, 16 hook, bridge, hook. Like, it's not like that. You know what I'm saying? He structures stuff differently. There's a lot of interludes. There's a lot of, you know, weaving in and out of different songs and switching beats up in the same track. And you know, if you're listening to the album and you don't have like your phone in front of you, you don't know what song you're on. So you might hear something that's dope and you don't even know what song you're listening to unless you are physically looking at the songs as they play. You know what I mean? Because just that's how the way he set it up. The only song that really had a noticeable bounce to it that kind of sounded something like you could listen to in the car or something that, you know, you could really vibe with like that was the song called All Right. I'll play a little snippet of that right quick.
But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
But aside from that, y'all, that's pretty much it. You know, Kendrick was focusing on content more than stuff that you can really get comfortable with in the whip or, you know, at the club or whatever. You know, I mean, it's good cookout music though. I will say that. It's getting warmer out, and this is a pretty good cookout music. If you don't mind hearing about Kunta Kinte and Willie Lynch and stuff like that at your cookout, I mean, he kind of gave you some good material here. And then the last track of the album is actually called Mortal Man, where Kendrick basically talks about people that we revere in our society, you know, our heroes, so to speak. Are you still down for them when they're down on their luck? And it makes you think. And he even talks about Michael Jackson, for instance. Michael Jackson, he was everybody's favorite artist, you know, everybody's. And then the allegations came out in the early 90s about him being a child molester or whatever. All that stuff was unfounded, but a lot of people stopped messing with Mike after that. And that's just how it goes. You look at Bill Cosby right now. I don't know that Kendrick specifically referenced Bill Cosby, but that's a perfect example of that. So, you know, when you see some of our heroes are go through some type of difficult experiences, are you still gonna ride out for them? The chorus that he repeats is, when shit hits the fan, are you still a fan? And you know, he kind of makes you think. And then what's crazy is at the end of the song, he kind of breaks out into this interview out of nowhere. There's no warning for it. And you're just like, well, who is he talking to? And then all of a sudden you hear this voice come on. And it actually took me a second to pick up on it. But he's talking to Tupac, y'all. And it's crazy because it sounds like a real interview. They just took some type of snippets from whatever and some stuff that I hadn't even heard Pac say before. And I've watched a lot of Pac interviews in my day. And Kendrick is having like an open dialogue, and it sounds like a real fluid, normal conversation that he's having with this man. Until the very end, when Kendrick reads his poem about the caterpillar and the butterfly, where he talks about how the butterfly has all, you know, gets all these accolades for being beautiful and majestic, and the caterpillar is shunned. What people aren't realizing is that you can't become the butterfly without being first the caterpillar, and that the caterpillar had all the potential that the butterfly has, but you have to go through that process of growth and transformation before you can become the butterfly. And maybe that's just a metaphor for what he's trying to say that black people are going through, or that black America is facing these days. I don't know that this is necessarily the case, but this is just, again, my off-the-cuff kind of thought about it, is that Kendrick is like, well, look, nobody's investing in our school systems. Nobody's investing in black families anymore. They're killing our kids in the streets. They can't even get any type of protection from police. We're always looked at as the victim. We're always blamed for everything. But we have that butterfly potential, and you see it all the time when we're given a chance. Just look at the White House, for instance. When we're given a fair shake, we can really do some good and great things. But you can't disrespect the caterpillar and just appreciate the butterfly for what it is. It doesn't work like that. You gotta love it all. You gotta take the good with the bad. And not even saying that the caterpillar is bad, but the caterpillar is just not seeing its full potential yet. And we have to stick around for the whole ride, you know what I'm saying? And so maybe that's kind of what he was getting at. And then at the end of it, Pac is unresponsive, and Kendrick kind of just is in a panic. It almost sounds like he wakes up from a dream, you know, like in that kind of sense. And so really powerful stuff. Really powerful stuff. I don't even really like, I feel weird just doing this. It's such a deep album, and I'm doing a disservice by talking about it for 15 minutes or so on a podcast after having heard the whole thing maybe twice. And you know, it's really difficult to do because he touched on so many different subjects. He talks about complexion on there. He talks about, like I said, Willie Lynch theory. He talks about you know, I mean, so many things, and there were so many different sounds. I mean, it's not just funk, but it was some soul samples, some neo soul stuff. Like, if you're like 27, if you're like 28 years old or older, and you're from like the DC, Philly area, you probably like this album a lot, because there was a lot of that neo soul kind of vibe to it. And there was, like I said, a lot of funk, and there was some jazz in there. There was a lot of different usage of instrumentation that Kendrick hit us with on this record that really made it unique, and it really doesn't sound like anything else that's out there right now. I think to kind of put a cap on it, and to bring everything full circle, you know, at the beginning I said that Kendrick has the charisma of a rap superstar but the spirit of a backpacker. And I think that one thing that Kendrick has been able to do is walk the tightrope of being able to express these feelings but yet not come off too preachy. And I don't even think it's fair, but a lot of people criticize Lupe Fiasco for being on his high horse all the time and being too preachy and being, I guess, too abrasive of the criticisms or the ills of the black community and things like that. Is it deserved? Is it not? You know, who's to say? That could be debated for hours. But I think Kendrick understands that, you know, unless you're somebody like Fabulous, your potential at being on top is not guaranteed in hip-hop. Your window, much like in basketball, for instance, your window at winning a championship is not always as open as it seems. Just ask the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know what I mean? Your window to win over the people and to get your true message that you want to get across is not always guaranteed. And I think Kendrick decided to take it a step further and take it a step beyond Good Kid, Mad City. Okay, like he introduced you to himself and his world and how he came up on Good Kid, Mad City. Now he's going to introduce you to a place where he's showing us the struggle of Black America right now. And to a large degree, America right now. And I think what he understands is like, look, I'm not always necessarily going to have this platform. I'm on top today. I'm one of the 2 to 3 hottest MCs in music right now. And therefore, one of the hottest artists in music right now. But I'm not necessarily always going to be on the stage, especially if I keep rapping about the stuff I'm rapping about. So I'm just going to go all in on this sophomore major record. And I think that's what he decided to do. The one word that sticks out to me when hearing this album, To Pimp a Butterfly, was this is a courageous album. The album was courageous, I thought. I mean, when just listening to the sounds that he used, the instruments that he used, the subject matter that he tackled, the way in which he approached it, everything about it took courage to me. Because again, you're not always going to have this platform. It's not guaranteed to you. You're not going to get a bunch of support from the record labels or the industry for stuff like this. You know, I don't think Public Enemy sold tens of millions of records. I don't think, you know, KRS-One sold a bunch of records and nothing like that. Nas has never sold a ton of records. Jay-Z has sold a ton of records, but Jay-Z's all often been criticized for not being more socially conscious, and Kendrick is embracing that role. He's burdened with it to a degree, but he's embracing the role of being a leader and a voice for our people, specifically our young people. And so I just thought it was a really courageous effort, all in all. You know, I've often compared like Kanye West to Michael Jordan. I think Kanye thinks he's Jordan in a lot of respects. Well, the one thing about sports is, you know, people love Michael Jordan. And I grew up in the Jordan era, so I know people love Michael Jordan, especially coming up. But there's people view Michael Jordan in a different way than they view Muhammad Ali. You know what I'm saying? Muhammad Ali is not revered the same way that Michael Jordan is. Michael Jordan is respected as one of the great athletes we've ever seen, and he changed the sports landscape forever. Muhammad Ali changed the world. It's not the same thing. And I think rather than take the Michael Jordan route, which may be what Drake or somebody's trying to do, and that's not a criticism, it's just a thing, it's just what it is. Maybe, you know, and that's the contemporary that Kendrick is compared to the most, is Drake. Maybe Drake is taking more of a Michael Jordan approach to things, or a Jay-Z is taking more of a Michael Jordan approach to things, and Kendrick is saying, you know what, I want to go beyond that. I want to be the Muhammad Ali of hip-hop. And I think that's what he set out to do. We'll get a little bit more in-depth with it. We're going to break down the songs a little bit more. It felt weird talking about this record again so soon after it dropped. And like, I don't even have a firm grasp of it, but I'm just kind of speaking off the top of the dome mostly. And so let me know what you think. Holler at us, hiphopsportsreport.com. And I'm going to go ahead and play a record off the album. I don't even know what I'm going to play yet. But y'all take a listen and it'll be dope. Trust me, it'll be dope.
Yeah.
and came to my senses. You never liked this anyway, fuck your friendship, I meant it. I'm African American, I'm African, I'm black as the moon. Heritage of a small village, part of my residence. Came from the bottom of mankind. My hair is nappy, my dick is big, my nose is round and wide. You hate me, don't you? You hate my people, your plan is to terminate my culture. You're fucking evil, I want you to recognize that I'm a proud monkey. You vandalize my perception, but can't take down from it. And this is more than confession, I mean I might press the button just so you know my discretion. I'm guarding my feelings, I know that you feel it. You sabotage my community, making a killing. You made me a killer, emancipation of a real nigga.
I saw them shit like a slave, can be black. Boy, we feel my leap of pain, can be black. I'm an asset, they put me in a chain, can be black. I'm a chain now, me go a chain full of rocks. Hey, you know, see the whip, left side from the back. But now we have a big whip back from the black. Oh, them a see we doom from the start, can be black. But remember this, every race start from the black. Just remember that.
I'm the biggest hypocrite of 2015. Once I finish this, witnesses will convey just what I mean. I mean, it's evident that I'm irrelevant to society. That's what you're telling me. Penitentiary would only hire me. Curse me till I'm dead. Church me with your fake prophesizing that I'ma be just another slave in my head. Institutional lies, manipulation and lies. Reciprocation of freedom only live in your eyes. You hate me, don't you? I know you hate me just as much as you hate yourself. Jealous of my wisdom and cards I dealt. Watching me as I pull up, fill up my tank, then peel out. Muscle cars like pull-ups, show you what these big wheels bout. Black is successful, this black man meant to be special. Cat scans on my radar, bitch, how can I help you? How can I tell you I'm making a killing? You made me a killer, emancipation of a real nigga.
I saw them shit like a slave, can be black. Boy, we feel my leap of pain, can be black. I'm an asset, they put me in a chain, can be black. I'm a chain now, me go a chain full of rocks. Hey, you know, see the whip, left side from the back. But now we have a big whip back from the black. Oh, them a see we doom from the start, can be black. But remember this, every race start from the black. Just remember that.
I'm the biggest hypocrite of 2015. When I finish this, if you listen, then sure you will agree. This plot is bigger than me. It's generational hatred. It's cynicism. It's grimy little justification. I'm African American. I'm African. I'm black as the heart of a fucking Aryan. I'm black as the name of Tyrone and Darius. Excuse my French, but fuck you, no fuck y'all. That's as blunt as it gets. I know you hate me, don't you? You hate my people, I can tell cause there's threats when I see you. I can tell cause your waist is evil. No, I can tell because you in love with the desert eagle. Thinking maliciously, he get a chain then you gon' bleed him. It's funny how Zulu and Xhosa might go to war. Two tribal armies that wanna build and destroy. Remind me of these Compton Crip gangs that live next door. Beefing with Pyrus, only death settled the score. So no matter how much I say I like to preach with the Panthers, or tell Georgia State Marcus Garvey got all the answers, or try to celebrate February like it's my B-Day, or eat watermelon chicken and Kool-Aid on weekdays, or jump high enough to get Michael Jordan endorsements, or watch BET cause urban support is important. So why did I weep when Trayvon Martin was in the street, when gangbanging make me kill a nigga blacker than me? Hypocrite.
Yeah, 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 back with the preseason podcast of the year. Kendrick Lamar, The Pimp a Butterfly, is now available to be heard and understood. Discuss hiphopsportsreport.com. Hit us on Twitter, Facebook, wherever. Let us know what you think of the album. I feel like it needs to be celebrated. We got to celebrate this dude while he's doing what he's doing right now. I think, you know, he might not always have this platform based on the trajectory of where he's going. That's kind of how I'm seeing it. We need to celebrate what he's doing. But one thing that we as a society will never hesitate to celebrate: March Madness. The tournament is here, y'all. The tournament is here. We always play this record in the background. The Joel Santana. You remember that Nike ad, whatever? We had to throw that music in the background just like we did last year and just like I did years ago on the All Football Show March Madness edition. Shout out to my man Adam Clark and my man Rhett Umphress and my man Andy Roberts, who hooked us up last year with some knowledge. I'm flying solo this evening, and I'm just gonna give y'all real quick my take on the NCAA tournament. I kind of felt like this is somewhat of a whack year for college basketball, to be honest. I mean, outside of Kentucky, which obviously is the major story, and we'll talk about them quite a bit. But it, I mean, like, what else has there been to talk about this year in college hoops? I mean, you got a few good players, but that's par for the course. There's no Jimmy Fredette. There's no Steph Curry. There's no small dude that's lighting it up yet. I mean, that can change when the tournament gets here. But, you know, there's no huge story that's taken over. I mean, we had the Syracuse scandal, and it looks like North Carolina might be having one on the horizon. But aside from that, like I said, aside from Kentucky, that's pretty much been it. That, and, you know, obviously there's going to be some talk about the age limit as we go into the draft. And if you have any questions about the age limit that the NBA has, you have a beef with that, go check out HipHopSportsReport.com, because Anthony Houston wrote a very compelling article about the age limit as it pertains to players turning pro out of high school. So y'all check that out. He's got some interesting an interesting theory there. But as far as the tournament, as far as it relates to the tournament, you know, I was thinking about just blowing through every game and just telling you what I have for every game, and there may be some minor tweaks between now and Thursday, but, you know, I'm just gonna do that. You know, that's just how I roll right now. I'm just kind of feeling like, why not give y'all the whole bracket on the podcast? That hasn't been done before. We haven't done that before. So I'm gonna go game for freaking game right now. We're gonna start in the Midwest region. That's where Kentucky lives. I got Kentucky in the Elite Eight. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Off top, I got Kentucky in the Elite Eight. I'm gonna tell you that right now. So whoever they play in their playing games, thanks for showing up. Bye-bye. And then we got Cincinnati, Purdue. I like the Bearcats. Buffalo, West Virginia. I think I'm gonna take the Mac school, Buffalo, in an upset. Maryland and Valpo. I got Maryland. Maryland quiet as kept, had a nice year in the Big Ten. Butler and Texas. Butler's got a great program. Nobody believes Texas deserves to be in the tournament anyway, so I'm gonna stick with Butler. Notre Dame, and I think, who they got? Northeastern, is that? Who was that? New England? Are they playing the Patriots? No, they're playing Northeastern. Yeah, give me Notre Dame in that. I got Wichita State over Indiana. I got Kansas in their first round matchup. Kentucky over Cincinnati. Maryland over Buffalo. Notre Dame over Butler in the Indiana clash. And I got Wichita State with Ron Baker and Van Vliet still in the building for them, upsetting the Kansas Jayhawks, because, I mean, aside from like 1 year or whatever, you can't really count on the Kansas Jayhawks in the tournament. They always end up letting you down. So, and I wasn't, you know, they got a nice record and they had a tough conference. You know, the Big 12 was really tough this year, but I just wasn't all that impressed with Kansas. And I don't know if Perry Ellis is 100% or not, but they're going to need him to be if they're going to go anywhere. So, but give me the upset. Give me Wichita State there. And then I have Kentucky over Maryland and Notre Dame over Wichita State, leading us to Kentucky and Notre Dame in the Midwest final, and I got Kentucky winning that. Moving to the West real quick, Wisconsin, I got them beating, I think, was that Coastal Carolina? Yeah, I got them beating Coastal Carolina. Give me Oregon over Oklahoma State. Give me Arkansas. And what's the kid? Bobby Portis had a great year for them. Nice player, 17.5 points, 8.5 boards per game. Give me Bobby Portis over Wofford. Where is Wofford? I have no idea. North Carolina and Harvard. Give me Carolina over those nerds any day of the week. Then we got, who we have? Xavier versus either the winner of BYU and Ole Miss. I think BYU is going to win that playing game, and I think they're going to beat Xavier. I feel like I pick against Xavier early in the tournament every single year. Usually it burns me. But for some reason, I'm just picking against them again. I don't know why. Forgive me, Natty. I'm sorry. Give me Baylor over Georgia State. Give me my Ohio State Buckeyes over Shaka Smart Squad, VCU. That's not going to be an easy game, though. But I don't even really like Ohio State's team that much this year. But D'Angelo Russell is so good. I just feel like he alone can win one game. And so that's kind of, I'm giving them a game before they bow out to Arizona in the second round. Because Arizona, I think they lost two or three games all year. And Sean Miller's got them playing fantastic basketball. They got a pretty complete team there in Arizona. They got some size. They got some athleticism on the wing with Hollis Jefferson. You know, I like Arizona to beat Ohio State. And I have them taking on Baylor, defeating BYU in that second round matchup in the West. And then jumping back to the top of that bracket, I have Wisconsin over Oregon and Carolina over Arkansas in a very close game. That was a tough one. I like Wisconsin over Carolina, and I like Arizona over Baylor. So I got the top four seeds getting there. in that region. But I like Wisconsin, man. I like Wisconsin over Arizona. Wisconsin has some senior leadership. They got some size with Kaminsky. I think Kaminsky's a fantastic college basketball player, and I think he will be a very good NBA player for a long time. I don't see any kind of all-star potential like that or anything, but I see Kaminsky's game translating to the NBA level with his size and his ability to step out on the floor and knock down an open jumper. I think he can have a very nice long career hitting mid-range jumpers and taking the opposing big man away from the basket. So give me Frank Kaminsky and the Wisconsin Badgers over Arizona in a tough regional final in the West. Moving to the East, Villanova. Who is Laugh? I'm laughing at your team, Laugh. I don't even know who you are. Lafayette. I thought it was Lafayette out of the Patriot League. They had a good year this year, but I'm going to go with the team that lost two ball games all year. So give me Villanova in that matchup. I like LSU over NC State in the 8-9 matchup. I like Northern Iowa over Wyoming. And Louisville over whoever it is they're playing. UC Irvine. Sorry about that. Give me the Louisville Cardinals. Let's see. Providence. I might have to switch that one. I had an upset in that matchup. I think I'm going to switch that right now and put Providence in the second round to face Oklahoma. And then I have Michigan State going against Virginia. Michigan State, they could get beat in the first round because they had some moments here and there, but I felt like they kind of didn't look so hot towards the tail end of the season, the Spartans. But you can't really count against Tom Izzo, so the Izzo factor alone will get them at least one game in the tournament. And then I have Villanova over LSU, although I could see LSU upsetting the Wildcats in that matchup. Give me Northern Iowa over Louisville. Yeah, Pitino. I got him going down to Northern Iowa in the second round. Sorry, Montrezl Harrell's a great player, but, you know, I like Seth Tuttle and the boys, man. I don't know what to tell you. And then give me Oklahoma, and then give me Virginia in that matchup in that region. And then moving along in the East region, the Sweet 16, I think I'll have Northern Iowa upsetting Villanova. Yeah, man. I mean, Jay Wright's teams for Villanova, they always get into the tournament and they tend to lay an egg. And that's just kind of what they do. And I feel like they're always undersized. And, you know, they just don't do it for me, Villanova. Even though they only lost two games, it was enough to get by Lafayette. But when they start playing some good teams and underrated teams like Northern Iowa, who I think was like the 10th ranked team in the country or something like that, and they wound up being a 5 seed, that's brutal. They got hosed, Northern Iowa did. But yeah, underestimate them, give them the 5 seed, give them that confidence, give them that chip on their shoulder. I got them going out and beating Nova in the Sweet 16 and facing Virginia in the regional final. But I have the Virginia Cavaliers going to the Final Four. And then in the South, give me Duke. It's going right down the line, y'all. Give me Duke. Give me San Diego State. Give me Stephen F. Austin to upset Utah. Give me Georgetown. Let's see. Who is this? We got Larry Brown's boys. That's right. Southern Methodist, SMU. Give me Larry Brown's troops over UCLA, who everybody hates because they didn't belong on the field. Give me Iowa State. Give me Iowa over Davidson. And then give me Gonzaga in their first round matchup. The second round, give me Duke. And I like Duke to play Stephen F. Austin. I don't know why. It's just kind of a hunch. You know, you got to pick a 5-12 upset at least one, right? Because they happen like every year. So you got to pick at least one or two 5-12 upsets. So give me Stephen F. Austin. And then give me them beating Georgetown because Georgetown tends to, you know, crap the bed in the tournament also. So give me Stephen F. Austin against Duke. And then go ahead and give me, let's see here. What do we have here? Give me Iowa State over SMU. And then give me Gonzaga over Iowa. Give me Duke over Stephen F. Austin. The run comes to an end. Sorry, fellas. And then give me Iowa State over Gonzaga. Gonzaga, Mark Few. They're saying this is Mark Few's best team that he's ever had in Gonzaga. But the Zags, the Bulldogs, they always kind of come up short in the tournament too. But to be fair, Duke has been coming up short in the tournament in recent years. So, I mean, you know, I could see Duke losing early. But I have them in the regional final against Iowa State. And Iowa State, I had Iowa State beating UConn last year and going to the Final Four. That was my dark horse Final Four pick last year, and it got ruined because George Niang hurt his foot. Or is that his name? Did I say his name right? I think I said his name right. But he hurt his foot, and George Niang, I think that's how you say his name. Anyways, that dude is nice. I've seen him put in work before, but when he broke his foot last year or whatever, that pretty much sabotaged their season in the tournament, and they weren't able to get past UConn. And so I have Iowa State getting back to the regional final this time against Duke, but I have Duke pulling out the W just because they got the best player, Jahlil Okafor, and they got Mike Krzyzewski. So in that matchup, I'm going to err on that side. So the Final Four, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Virginia, and Duke. That is my Final Four. I have Duke beating Virginia because they played them earlier in the year at Virginia and Duke got the win. So even though they dismissed Rasheed Suleiman this year, I feel like Duke gets to the final game. I don't feel good about that pick at all. I'm not going to lie to you because I don't think Duke is that good. They're not that good. You know what I'm saying? They can be beaten is what I mean. Even though they have Okafor and they got the Justice League, Justice Winslow, kind of got that little all-around herky-jerky game, kind of does everything well, nothing great, but still a really good player type kid. I like him. And I see them getting through to the national championship and playing Kentucky. I think Kentucky and Wisconsin is probably the real national championship game. Even though Kentucky and Duke would be major and everybody would tune in to see that matchup. And that would be a great game to see. I think the real national championship is probably Kentucky and Wisconsin. But I'm not going against Kentucky in that game. And I'm not going against Kentucky in the championship. I got Kentucky going undefeated and winning the whole thing, y'all. And normally, and I've written about this on the website in the past, normally when I make my selections come tournament time, there's a few things that I like to see from a team. I like to see a team that has some size. I like to see a team that has a guard that can take over games down the stretch if need be. And I like experience and I like senior leadership. Those are the things that I tend to gravitate to when picking teams. Oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes. Kentucky, they don't have any senior leadership, that's for sure, because everybody that's good enough to go to Kentucky and play is in the NBA. So Kentucky's seniors right now is like Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Like, those are the guys that would be seniors if they were still there, I think. So those type players, you know, or maybe John Wall and Cousins, I'm not sure. That was, I think, a year before, so I think those guys would be gone. But at any rate, they may not have the senior leadership, Kentucky, but they damn sure got the size. And I didn't even realize this until I started watching them more and more during the year. I'm like, oh, okay, they got a nice little 7-footer there, Carl Anthony Towns or whatever. Oh, okay, they got another dude that's like 6'11". Okay, Willie Cauley-Stein. Okay, they got some size there. They got two dudes that's like over 6'11". Like, that's pretty good. And then I watched them again. It's like, oh damn, they got a dude that's 6'10" in the starting lineup. Like, they got three guys that are 6'10" in the starting lineup. Do you guys understand that most college teams do not have a legitimate center that can play that's taller than 6'9"? Like, most Division I schools are starting to do that center that's like 6'8 or 6'9". Like, that's just what it is. Like, to come across a dude that's 6'10 at center in college that can play, you have yourself a big advantage. Kentucky's got three in the starting lineup. And their guards are both like 6'6". The twins, those guys are like 6'6" apiece. So their point guard is 6'6". That's really tall. The two guard, I think, is Andrew Harrison. You know, he's about the same size, but that's decent size for a two guard even in the NBA. And then you got three dudes that's 6'10 or above or whatever. Come on, man. Like, that's not even playing by the rules, Cal. Come on, Cal. That's not playing by the rules. That's taking recruiting to a whole new level. You know? But, yeah, that's why I got Kentucky winning, because they're bigger than everybody else. And I feel like they're going to defend the paint, and you're going to have to get hot from three to beat them and shoot a bunch of jumpers. And, you know, I don't see anybody doing that. The only hope that you have against Kentucky in this tournament is getting in their head because of the fact that everybody is putting this pressure on them to be one of the greatest teams of all time. So if they can get down in the second half, and to their credit, they've been bouncing back from that all year where they've had games where they were down late, down in the second half or whatever. I thought they were really going to lose that game at LSU. I really did. And they came back and won that game. I mean, they've been impressive with that all season. But that's in large part due to Coach John Calipari and his greatness. He's mastermind. He's a mastermind, and he's mastered this thing of taking these freshmen and taking them deep into the tournament. And even that senior leadership might not be there, but it doesn't matter because the talent is there. And Calipari is the senior leadership. And if you watch him, he's going on the offensive. He's doing all types of media for this team. And why is he doing that? He's doing that so that his players don't have to. He's doing all the media so that the players can just focus on playing. And it's brilliant. He's going on PTI. He's going on SportsCenter. He's going on Mike and Mike in the morning. He's all over the place. He's all over doing interviews, doing extra stuff after the game, post-game. Calipari's all over the place. I've never heard any of those other dudes on that team talk before. It's all Calipari because he's taking the responsibility and burdening himself with that so that his boys can just go out and play. I think that's really masterful, as a matter of fact. I saw a stat, going back real quick to the height thing, I'm just looking at my notes. I saw a stat the other day that said the only team in the NBA that has more size than the Kentucky Wildcats is the Portland Trailblazers. Think about that, y'all. Not only are they towering over every college team, but they're bigger than most NBA teams. There's only one NBA team that has more guys that's like 6'8 and taller than Kentucky. That's crazy. That is crazy. And so with that size and with what Calipari's doing, taking the pressure off of them, you know, he's been downplaying the undefeated season all year. And now they're in the tournament and Calipari's on TV and he's like, yeah, well, everybody's 0-0 now, so the undefeated season, it's already over and done with. It's happened already, so forget about it. It's in the past. Forget about it. You know what I'm saying? And it really, it makes a lot of sense for him to approach it that way, and he's got his players to buy in. With all that size, with Andrew Harrison, I think, having the capacity to knock down a big shot, because we saw it in the tournament last year, I don't see nobody beating the Wildcats, y'all, so y'all just got to give it up for him. I don't know that this Kentucky team is one of the all-time great teams, but I think they're the all-time biggest team in college basketball history, and that still is a big deal. You know, the fact that they're just going to be so much bigger than everybody else, they're going to out-rebound everybody else, they're going to defend better than everybody else. If they're playing close to A-ball in the tournament, I don't see anybody beating them. And I've even heard people say, well, Kentucky's got an easy path to the championship. They only got Kansas as the number two, Notre Dame. You know what? Good, because they earned it during the regular season because nobody beat those guys. So they absolutely earned the easiest road to the Final Four. So good for them. They deserve that. And I think Wisconsin's going to give them their best game, but I still feel like they're going to win it, man. And I feel like it's chalk mostly. I mean, I'm sticking with chalk this year, y'all. If you couldn't tell it by the way I broke down all the teams in the brackets, I'm going largely chalk this year. And I got to tell you, I feel pretty damn comfortable about it. And I'll tell you something else. The predictions that I've given y'all at Hip Hop Sports Report and the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast have been money in the bank of late.
I'm rich, bitch!
So what's the opposite of the kiss of death? I don't know what that is, but whatever that is, Kentucky's got it, because I got Kentucky winning the whole thing. That's going to wrap it up for this evening, y'all. Thank you for listening. Preseason podcast of the year, signing off. Jay Hicks, Hip Hop Sports Support. Go to the website. Please continue to support. Thank you for everybody, all the new followers, new listeners, new everybody. You know, we're still growing. I told y'all we had some stuff in store in 2015. I'm not lying. And there could be even bigger things on the horizon. So stay tuned. Hit us up. Hit up the podcast on iTunes and now on Stitcher. Hit up the website, hiphopsportsreport.com, on Twitter and Facebook, at HHS Report. Go listen to Kendrick Lamar's album. Let me know what you think about it. And we'll holler at y'all next time. Love y'all. Peace.
How much a dollar really costs? The question is detrimental, paralyzing my thoughts. Parasites in my stomach keep me with a gut feeling, y'all. Gotta see how I'm chilling once I park this luxury car. Hopping out, feeling big as Mutombo. 20 on pump 6, 30 Marcellus called me Dumbo. 20 years ago, can't forget. Now I can lend him an ear or two. How to stack these residuals tenfold. The liberal concept that men do. 20 on 6, and didn't hear me. Indigenous African, only spoke Zulu. My American tongue was leery. Walked out the gas station, a homeless man with a city tan complexion asked me for 10 grand. Stressing about dry land, deep water, powder blue skies that crack open, a piece of crack that he wanted. I knew he was smoking, he begged and pleaded. Asked me to feed him twice, I didn't believe it. Told him beat it, contributed money just for his pipe. I couldn't see it. He said, my son, temptation is one thing that I've defeated. Listen to me, I want a single bill from you. Nothing less, nothing more. I told him I didn't have it, then closed my door. Tell me how much a diamond cost.
What a sign of love, the one you love.
staring at me. I grabbed my key, staring at me. I started the car, then I tried to leave. But something told me to keep it in park until I could see the reason why he was mad at a stranger. Like I was supposed to save him, like I'm the reason he homeless and asking me for a favor. He's staring at me, his eyes follow me with no laser. He's staring at me, I noticed that his stare is contagious. Cause now I'm staring back at him, feeling some type of disrespect. If I could throw a bat at him, he'd be aiming at his neck. I never understood someone begging for goods, asking for handouts, taking it if they could. And this particular person just had it down pat, staring at me for the longest until he finally asked, have you ever opened up Exodus 14? A humble man is all that we ever need. Tell me how much a dollar cost. Tripping and feeling resentment. I never met a transient that demanded attention. They got me frustrated, indecisive, and power tripping. Sour emotions got me looking at the universe different. I should distance myself, I should keep it relentless. My selfishness is what got me here, who the fuck I'm kidding? So I'ma tell you like I told the last bum. Crumbs and pennies, I need all of mine. And I recognize this type of panhandling all the time. I got better judgment, I know when niggas hustling. Keep in mind, when I was struggling, I did compromise. Now I comprehend, I smell grandpa's old medicine reeking from your skin, moonshine and gin. Nigga, you're babbling, your words ain't flattering. I'm imagining Denzel, but looking at O'Neal. Cause I'm in sad thrills, your gimmick is mediocre. The jig is up, I seen you from a mile away, losing focus. And I'm insensitive, and I lack empathy. He looked at me and said, your potential is bittersweet. I looked at him and said, every nickel is mine to keep. He looked at me and said, know the truth, it'll set you free. You're looking at the Messiah, the son of Jehovah, the higher power, the choir that spoke the word, the Holy Spirit, the nerve of Nazareth. And I tell you just how much a dollar cost. The price of happiness bought in heaven, embrace your loss, I am God.
I wash my hands, I said my grace, what more do you want from me? Tears of a clown, guess I'm not all what it's meant to be. Shades of gray will never change if I condone. Turn this page, help me change to right my wrong.